بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. رب اشرح لي صدري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Most honorable Imam and respected elders of the community, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In my message for today, I wish to maintain or try to maintain a sharp, future-focused message, inshallah. And the motivation for a future-focused message is as follows. First of all, we are struggling as a community to awaken from the slumber of being reactionary all the time. If I just use a simple case in point, it was hosted by South Africa. To be fair to the state had a very fair, largely Islamically inclined objective in hosting the G20 summit. The objective of the state was to negotiate and put high up on the agenda African debt reform, which means that African countries in general, for those who may not know, are exposed to something called African premium. African premium refers to a phenomenon where when African nations leverage funds from the IMF, there's an added premium. The cost of finance is even higher, purely as a result of being an African nation. In a very broad stroke, the Muslim community woke up to the reality of the G20 summit in the week when the apex event was taking place, whereas the entire event was taking place over a period of 12 months. The second motivation for a sharp, future-focused message, my brothers, is that many of us we had the privilege of enjoying year-end functions over the last 3-4 weeks maybe, largely at academic institutions. And in the speaker's own limited experience of just 5 such events, there were encounters where people who were entrusted with being at the helm of institutions, when allocated those 5 or 10 minutes to address an audience, were selling us past performance, celebrations of past performance, rather than selling to us a vision for the future. This is what is one of the leading causes of youth being demotivated in us, men and adults, that we are unable to sell a future to our children. And this is why our youth are becoming increasingly disillusioned in us as adults and as leaders of society. We are unable to sell a future to them. And as I've said, each individual can relate to his own experience where individuals at the helm of organizations to which the donor community is largely throwing money, are selling us celebrations of the past rather than attractive visions for the future. With this in mind, my intention, my brothers, is to sharply focus this message on the future. And to do this, I wish to highlight just 5 quick points that every person should be considering on their agenda in planning for 2026. These 5 things are probably, they're not the only things, but they are significant enough to warrant each individual's attention. The first of these 5 is local municipal elections. The date has not yet been announced and finalized. It's probably, according to the IEC, likely to happen on the first Wednesday of November 2026. It obviously will require individuals to register beforehand, and the cutoff dates for registration will probably be somewhere in the middle of the year or even as late as September. But if an individual has not been conscientized to the reality and the need to participate in local municipal elections, he cannot wake up too late. He will have to wake up well early into the year. Now, I wish to invite my brothers to a magnificent approach in terms of elections in general, municipal and local elections in particular. But before I do that, I just want to highlight 2 potential reasons why many individuals would be disinclined or even averse to participating in local municipal elections. The first of these two reasons is that some people may reason that elections, democracy is un-Islamic. My brothers, I would be the first one to tell you that democracy is not Islamic in its entirety. And anyone who is even remotely familiar with democracy's 2,500 years history would tell you the same thing, that democracy has not proven itself. It is not ideal. It is not perfect, far from perfect. But I ask my brothers, who may be subscribing to this mindset, what alternative do we have? Where else do we go? This is all we have. It's a little bit like a father who's got a son who's maybe largely incompetent or disobedient. And a father cannot say to himself that, I am a good man, I deserve to have a good, competent son. That father's only option is to make good of a bad situation and prop his son up as much as he can and do whatever he can to make sure that his son can weather the storm of life in this world. So it's no different. We have no other option but to participate in the system in the best interest of preserving mine and your children's dini future. The Islamic future hinges on mine and your participation in this particular process. More important to participate in the municipal and local elections than the national elections in relative terms. But the point being that this particular mindset that democracy is un-Islamic, so I don't participate. It's questionable, and it's something that needs to be revisited. And this is why individuals need to be very conscious of their information diet. The information diet largely informs what a person thinks and how a person processes problems of the day, number one. The second important reason why anyone would be disinclined to participating in local municipal elections is, what's the point? The potholes have only got more than what they were before, 5 months ago, 6 months ago. Water problems and electricity issues have maybe, on relative terms, got worse than before. But, my brothers, even on this score, remember that this particular mindset of withdrawing completely from a process that can potentially benefit our children, at least in the short term, speaks to a larger mindset that is referred to in the media as NIMBYism, not invented in my backyard. When as members of the community, we struggle to relate to something in physical terms, we tend to withdraw. We tend to deem it as unimportant purely because of our own deficiency and inability to realize that everything important does not have to have a touch feel to it. And it doesn't necessarily mean that only if something can be touched and felt, then only is it important. So it may be significant, but for us to ensure that we understand that there's a much more magnificent approach to local elections and national elections in general. Now, I want to invite you to a little bit more magnificent approach to participating in local municipal elections. And at the same time, I want to encourage everyone to remain open to the views of other ulama who may have a similar sentiment to convey on the topic. It's not the only view. The speaker's view is not the only view by far. And I would encourage you to remain open-minded and entertain thoughts on what and how should we approach it. But anyway, it would be much more magnificent in 2025's political climate. In 2025's political climate, it would be much more significant and magnificent to understand that I'm going to participate in this process, and my only objective is to punish at the polls anyone who is a protagonist of Zionism. That is my objective. In the interest of preserving communal harmony and actively and consciously refraining from arousing any kind of debate, I will consciously not refer to names. But my brothers who are familiar with the territory would bear testimony to the fact that there are some parts of the world where this particular phenomenon has been achieved in some measure, where citizens of a country, citizens of a city maybe participated in a process, and they made sure that they proved this particular point of punishing at the polls anyone who was a strong, ardent protagonist of Zionism. As it is, we are doing so little for Palestine and Gaza. As it is, we've forgotten about it. Our plans are carrying on for December. We've largely, in a broad stroke, forgotten about Gaza and Palestine. But the best way to do it, my brothers, is to ensure that we approach participating in these processes with this particular objective in mind. I'm going to participate. My role is going to be very limited, but I'm going to make sure that in some way or the other, I'm accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having, within the particular context, political context of 2025, I've proven that I will punish anyone who is able to stand and be a proponent of Israel and genocide. Number one. Number two, time management. Time management. It's enough for a person to be a procrastinator. It's enough for a person to be a procrastinator. I'll only do this happens and when that happens. But it's even worse to waste time. The Sharia is not averse to sport as long as participation in sport is within a particular framework and it doesn't transgress particular limits. But when our sporting endeavors transgress limits and the impact on the quality of our homes, that is when our participation in sport becomes questionable. And we become oblivious of our dini obligations. That is when participation in sport and it's wasting time if we engage in a sporting endeavor only to ignore and overlook our dini responsibilities. When I think about time management as a factor that we need to seriously consider in planning our schedules for 2025, I am reminded of a verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with reference to the disbelievers, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. The disbelievers on the day of Qiyamah will appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will wish and they will desire to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be returned into this world to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this verse speaks to the response that will be given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. Didn't you have enough time to think and reflect and introspect and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You had warners. The verse makes reference to a warner. And the Mufassirin interestingly explain this warner to be threefold. They say this warner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to when he's responding to the disbelievers, one meaning is Anbiya, prophets. You were given prophets. You had no reason to ignore a prophet and to ignore the correct message. Number one. The second interpretation provided by the Mufassirun, you had grandchildren. Your grandchildren were a warner for you. They were a warner that your time is passing and you still didn't wake up. This is the response Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to the disbelievers and it applies squarely to the believers. And the third meaning attached by the Mufassirun is the appearance of white hair. When your white hair starts to show, that was a warner. That was the indicator and your signal that your time is running out. You need to start your obedience now. So when it comes to time management heading into the future, my brothers, we need to seriously consider how and where we spend our time. Because there are ways in which we can manage our time much more better, much more effectively for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number three. Third factor to consider in our planning for 2026. Spirituality. My brothers, we plan for every other facet of our lives. We plan what modules we want to do for the year as students. When we enter the business arena, we plan targets and we make sure we hold our subordinates accountable to those targets. We plan literally every facet of our lives, but we fail to plan our spiritual lives. We do not adequately plan our spiritual lives. And there are hardly targets that we can boast in terms of growing spiritually. See, my brothers, the theory of our deen is relatively straightforward. It's really relatively straightforward and simple. The theory of our deen is simple. But the spirit of our deen is an ocean without a shore. The spirit of our deen is an ocean without a shore. And it's not being tapped in. People are not waking up to the reality that I need to grow spiritually. And I'm not any kind of spiritual mentor. But one thing I can confirm is there isn't a shortage of instruments at mine and your disposal to grow spiritually. For a start, all I'm proposing, my brothers, is for 2026, undertake to do two things. If you want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn to your salah. And if you want an answer to your problems, turn to the education of the Quran. Understand the Quran. These two priorities should be pivotal in your planning for 2020. Make sure that your planning for 2020 caters for these two things. Number one is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker and creator, through salah, and getting our answers through understanding the Quran, with the help and assistance of the ulama, inshallah. Point number four. Fourth factor to consider in our planning for 2026. Personal financial management. For context purposes, many of us may have heard about a major policy change that took place right under our noses. And this was the adjustment of inflation targeting. For the first time in 25 years since the dawn of South Africa's democracy, for the first time in South Africa's dawn of democracy, was inflation targeting revised. For those who don't know, inflation target, the band used to be between 4 and 6%. It's now currently revised to between 2 and 3%. Now, for those who may know me, I honestly mean this. My own understanding of economics and finance is basic. I'm big brave in saying that it's basic, right? But anyway, to simplify and to strip out all the details and the complexity, in simple terms, in simple, super simple, super watered down and a bare bones approach to understand inflation targeting, this current policy shift, which takes effect now in November, affects you and I at the most core level. And at the same time, we can hardly boast two institutions that we throw money to that made a noise about this particular shift. Let me illustrate to you how it affects you and I. If you gave money to, you invested with someone, and they told you your return is going to be 14%, and midstream the person tells you, no, the return can't be 14%, it will be 10%. You won't agree to it. You'll be up in arms, and you have every right to do so, right? Inflation targeting essentially means, in simple terms, the net effect of what this policy change is that if your salary was increasing according to inflation of 6%, it's highly likely that if your employers are familiar with the inflation targeting framework, your salary for the next year is not going to be increased by 6%. It may only increase by 3%, maybe 4%. That translates to you having less funds, less net pay, less take-home pay in your pocket as a result of inflation targeting. Similarly, when institutions take mine and your money, they are now under the new inflation targeting framework of under 3%. They are now obligated, the state as well as any other private entity is now obligated to give you less return. That is how inflation targeting affects you and I at the most core level. And we haven't even batted an eyelid that something like of this magnitude has happened. What this means, my brothers, is, I hate to sound like a prophet of doom, but it calls for a much more circumspect measures in terms of managing our personal financial affairs in the coming year. And we have to realize that true wealth is what you don't have. True wealth is what you don't see. The ability to resist changing a motor vehicle when you don't really have to change a motor vehicle. The ability to do that is a form of wealth on its own. And wealth without independence is the new poverty. Wealth without independence is the new poverty. We have to wake up to this realization, my brothers, that many of us are familiar with how to become rich, but it's questionable whether we know how to stay rich. And this is why it's important for us to ensure that we be much more circumspect in managing our personal financial affairs. I'll give you one, if anyone thinks that talking about a financial matter is something beyond our deen, I'll give you one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is commonly cited. There's a famous hadith in Sahih Muslim where this person is casually walking and he hears a sound from the skies. He hears a sound from the skies that there's a name taken by some voice in the sky, take this water to this particular person. And it's about to rain. So this person hears this voice, he takes note of the name, and the cloud bursts and rain begins to fall. The rain is all in this dark, pebbled area, and this person who heard the noise and who heard the sound is now basically following the path of the water. And he's following the path of the water, and he comes to a particular orchard where this person is channeling the water using a shovel of some sort to get the water into his orchard. And this person who heard the sound from the angels, he says to him, you know, I heard your name. I heard your name being pronounced by the angels that water must be delivered to this particular orchard. So I brought the water. Here's the water. You can have it. But you must reveal to me what is your secret. What is your secret that your name was mentioned by angels? So this person is hesitant. He's unsure how this person knows my name. He says, I heard your name from the skies. And he reveals his secret. He says, I work in my orchard. And I'm very circumspect about my financial management. I allocate a third to reinvestment into my orchard. I allocate a third to uplifting my family and looking after my family and taking care of their needs. And I allocate a third to the poor. This hadith and this anecdote may have been heard multiple times, but has it struck a chord that it speaks to mine and your being much more circumspect in our financial management? Just today, my brothers, one of the most significant factors that is sapping the wealth of our ummah, is a simple thing like tar, tobacco, and vaping. It's become so commonplace. We are not waking up to the realization that this is sapping our financial well-being right before our eyes. And it's empowering someone else who is the last person to who we want to empower. We're getting the temporary satisfaction, but someone else is benefiting in the long run. Fifth and final aspect. I know my time is up. I beg your indulgence, my brothers. Relationships. Relationships. It would be an understatement, my brothers. It would be an understatement to say that we are literally falling on our faces when it comes to maintaining relationships. At every level, partnerships, employer-employee relationships, parents and children, siblings, husband and wife, spousal relationships, at every level we are literally falling on our faces when it comes to preserving relationships. And this has to become a much more significant priority heading into 2026. It has to be. We have no other option. And I say this because, as a speaker, I have the sense that maybe the instant gratification that we've become so accustomed to over time, you know, just leave alone a supercomputer, just put in a prompt of one or two lines in your mobile device, and you get a response just like this. That instant gratification is permeating our lives in the most subliminal way without us realizing in our relationships. We are viewing our relationships as transactional. I'll only give if this person gives me. I'll only respect my father if he respects me. I'll only respect my spouse if she can do this for me. It's transactional all the time. And what we can do, my brothers, is view our relationships as a tool and instrument to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in my short life, I can attest to this much, that preserving a relationship is far from easy. It's far from easy, any relationship, leave alone marriage, everything. It's far from easy to maintain a relationship. But if a person adopts this mindset shift, that I'm doing this, I'm going to stomach and bear whatever this person is doing to me, purely to tame my soul. If I'm taming my soul, I'm pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I'm taming my soul, I'm pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I'm pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my chances of success in the hereafter are increased. That's a mindset shift that's required. So, you know, I mentioned this a few days ago in one of the other platforms in this vicinity. Where there was something that raised my hair that I was exposed to a few weeks back. There's this person by the name of Paul Fitz. He wrote this book called Faith of the Fatherless. And in Faith of the Fatherless, Paul Fitz documents the lives of leading psychologists, the fathers, founding fathers of modern-day psychology. Hume and Nietzsche and Freud and Sartre and all of these people, he analyzes their lives in great detail. And he comes to this conclusion that these individuals left faith in their adult years as a result of actively and consciously severing their relationships with their fathers. I got to share this. Severing a relationship can actually have an impact on your link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can actually sever your link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take you out of the fold of Islam. May Allah preserve all of us and save our children also, inshallah. In conclusion, finally, my brothers, I've said five things in an attempt to maintain a future-focused message. Number one is, be conscious of local municipal elections that are coming up in 2026. Towards the end, registration will be required much more earlier. Number two, much more effective, better time management, inshallah. Number three is spirituality, focusing on our spirituality and as a start, basic start. Number four, much more circumspect financial management, personal financial management. And number five, specific targeted focus on preserving our relationships. You know what the biggest mistake any one of us can make? The biggest mistake after hearing these five things is procrastination. Remember, if and when we're planted, nothing grew. Don't say to ourselves, I will only do these five things when I return from Durban, when I return from Malaysia, when I return from Indonesia. It starts now. It starts immediately. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq of understanding. Amin wa akhiru da'wana wa alhamdulillah.
We say jazakumullahu ahsanul jazah to Mufti Muhammad Hafiz Sahib for those valuable advices, and inshallah Allah give us the understanding of what has been said and the ability of its implementation, inshallah. Mufti Sahib also is one of the senior muftis at the Jamiat offices, alhamdulillah, a panel of muftis that are doing great work, inshallah, serving the ummah on various aspects, Mufti Sahib's specialities, economics, business, etc., etc. Allah bless Mufti Sahib in his knowledge, inshallah, and continue to use him for the service of deen, inshallah. After the salah, there will be a nikah also taking place, and as rightly Mufti Sahib had said, with regard to our wealth, how do we spend it? Where do we invest it? How do we look after it? And there is no better way than to spend and look after our wealth than investing it in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, today's collection will be for our madrasa, for our masjid. Perhaps many of us have got bonuses also, inshallah. Let us take out a little bit from that in gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us the understanding, inshallah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي يلتذ بذكره الذاكرون ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونحن له عابدون ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله كما شهد الصالحون صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم به مقتدون أما بعد فيا معشر الإخوان اعلموا أن من آداب المعاشرة الإسلامية إصلاح الجنان بالمحاسبة والذكر والفكر والدعاء من الرحمن فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل الذي يذكر ربه والذي لا يذكر ربه مثل الحي والميت وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الدعاء مخ العبادة وقال عمر رضي الله عنه حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا وتزينوا للعرض الأكبر وعن أسلم أن عمر رضي الله عنه دخل على أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه وهو يجبذ لسانه فقال له عمر مه غفر الله لك فقال له أبو بكر رضي الله عنه إن هذا أوردني الموارد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم إنه تعالى جواد كريم ملك بر رؤوف رحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى إلى كافة الناس بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فيا أيها الناس اتقوا الله اتقوا الله تعالى في السر والعلن وذروا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن واعلموا أن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه ثم ثنى بملائكة قدسه ثم ثلث بالمؤمنين من برية جنه وإنسه فقال تعالى مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على رسولك سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وبناته وعميه وحفيديه وأصحابه أجمعين خصوصا على أفضل الصحابة بالتحقيق سيدنا أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى الناطق بالصدق والصواب الفارق بين الحق والباطل سيدنا عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى كامل الحياء والإيمان جامع آيات القرآن سيدنا عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى أسد الله الغالب سيدنا علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى السعيدين الشهيدين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة أبي محمد الحسن وأبي عبد الله الحسين رضي الله تعالى عنهما وعلى أمهما سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء رضي الله تعالى عنها وعلى عميه المكرمين أبي عمارة حمزة وأبي الفضل العباس رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى الستة الباقية من العشرة المبشرة الكرام البررة وعلى سائر الصحابة من المهاجرين والأنصار وأتباعهم وتابعيهم إلى يوم القرار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل أعداءهم اليهود والنصارى والمشركين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير واجعلنا منهم ومن أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين شرا وليس في نسبه الهداية فاشغله في نفسه واجعل كيده في نحره واجعل تدميره في تدبيره عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون Brothers, please come forward and make sure that there aren't any gaps in between. While we're waiting, I just wish to unreservedly apologize to my brothers for having taken extra time for the message. Please do forgive me, it's uncharacteristic. Jazakallah khair. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد. اللهم ربنا لا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب.